All right. Well, let's get in the Word of God this morning as we continue in our series entitled People of the Way. And as we look at this series, last week we looked at the way of grace and truth and how Jesus demonstrated through his ministry at the woman at the well the mission of Go, Love, Gather. And as we begin the rest of these sermons that carries us throughout the rest of the series, we're going to be looking in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, and looking at the different expressions of faith that we see the New Testament church engaging in early on, and how we built the foundation of this church on those principles. So if you would stand with me for the honor of reading God's word, we'll read one verse, Acts chapter 2, verse 42. It says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for an opportunity to come and gather in your name. Lord, I pray that that we would have ears to hear, God, that we would realize the community that you've called us to be, that we are to be a learning community that's living and active, and that we live out what we learn. So Lord, help us to receive what you have for us today. Help me to preach plain and clear. I do realize that out of all the people here this morning, there is strict judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth, and I do accept that place, for it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, when I was going through seminary in Louisville, I was pastoring a church in Fleming County called Mount Pisgah Baptist Church, and I pastored there for 5 years, upon graduation, just felt God calling us to plant a church, and things were just not clear, so I stepped down from the church there and went back into the classroom and taught in Louisville and just began seeking the Lord and seeking clarity on what he was leading us to do. And as we were focusing on getting a foundation laid for what a church would look like and what we would start it upon, Acts chapter 2, verse 42 became a text that we really just broke down to look at and see, like, what were the expressions of faith in the early church. This was the Bible at that time that I preached out of. This is a New King James Version, and I had to use duct tape to help the sides stay together. And duct tape is good for everything, right? So it's good for a Bible. And in it, as we look at Acts 2:42, in the New King James Version, it says, "And they continually, steadfastly, in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship." It says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. The ESV translates the word doctrine as teaching. And in fact, doctrine, what does doctrine mean? It means teaching. The Greek word there is didache. It's teaching, it's instruction. And so when we see in the Bible, when the church was gathered together as a community, living in community together, one of the foundational principles that they were holding on to and building the church upon and their lives upon was that they were a learning community, that they were a people who were dedicated, who were constantly devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. Now, this is important to understand the aspect of what does it mean to be a learner, because as Christians, we are to be a learner. There are some things that we need to learn, that we need to receive instruction, but we have to understand that there's a couple aspects of learning. Now, the first aspect of learning is that we got to acquire knowledge, right? We are taught something, and we are exposed to knowledge. This is a truth, and it is explained to us. And so there are things that we are to believe, right? So one aspect of learning is that I believe certain truths, correct? That's one aspect of learning, that we are to learn and understand. So every student who, when you have a class and you're learning and your teacher is instructing you, and the day that you have an exam, you are praying that you remember what you learn. Amen? Yeah, amen. Because it'll be either amen or oh me when you get that test paper back. And so there's things that you have to know, and that's one aspect of learning. But another aspect of learning is taking what you know and applying that, right? That you have to apply what you know, that you're learning something not just to acquire the knowledge of it, but you're learning it so that you can apply what you know about that. So take, for instance, riding a bike. Now, you could study how to ride a bike, right? You could read how to ride a bike and what you're supposed to do and how you're supposed to take the bike and, you know, get it going and you start getting on, you roll. You could understand all the things about riding a bike. And if you were to be given a test on how to ride a bike, if you just studied the procedures of how you're supposed to ride a bike and they were to give you a written test on how to ride a bike, you could pass that test. And never what? Ride a bike. Now, but if you really want to know how to ride a bike, it's going to take more than just reading about it. Yeah, you can know how to ride a bike by just reading about it, but if you really want to know how to ride a bike, you've got to what? You've got to ride a bike. You've got to get on it. And so when we talk about learning, when we talk about the early church being dedicated to the apostles' teaching, they weren't just dedicated of knowing factual information, though that was a part of it. But it was taking that factual information that they believed to be true and applying that and living it out. Taking what they heard about the gospel, letting it impact their life, and if you will, riding the gospel bike. They began living it out because the church is a community of believers who are living together and we're learning and living the faith. And so what were they being taught if they were continually, steadfastly dedicated to the apostles' teaching? The word teaching, if you do a search on that, it comes up in several Gospels throughout the Gospels. I just selected a few about Jesus' teaching. So in Matthew 7:28, it says, "And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching." This word teaching here is the same word here in that the church were dedicated to the apostles. Teaching, the doctrine, right? The teaching. Doctrine simply means teaching. If you were to have the doctrine of Christ, what does that mean? It means the teaching of the person of Christ. If you were to have a doctrine concerning end times or eschatology, it would be the teachings of end times. And so it says when he taught, people were astonished. Matthew 22:33, "And when the crowd heard it, they were astonished at his teaching." There was something about the way that Jesus taught that captured their attention, captured their mind, and captured their heart. In Mark 1:22, it says, "And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority, not as the scribes." Now, his teaching was so impactful that it started gathering crowds, and the religious leaders started getting worried because he was gathering for himself a following, and they didn't like that. And so Jesus warned them about the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now, here's the thing we got to understand. There is true teaching and there's false teaching. And it's very important what teaching you listen to. If you are following wrong directions, will you get to your destination? No. Why? Because they're wrong. They're false. It's false teaching, false doctrine. And so if you're following instructions or teachings that are not correct, you will end up in the wrong spot. That's why it's very important. You got to know the source of where the teaching's coming from, right? We don't want to follow false teaching. Now, here's the thing. Every person is going to follow some type of teaching. You're going to believe some type of doctrine. You're going to have some type of teaching. You know, for Christians, it should be the teaching of Christ. But those who aren't believers, they say, well, I don't follow anybody's teaching. They do. Usually, you can find it if you talk to somebody long enough. Either it's going to be a philosophy that they embrace. It could be something that their friends talk to them about, and they're believing their friends, and so they're following the teaching of their friends. It could be a professor that they're following their teaching from. Could be the culture. The culture is teaching people how to live and think, and they could embrace the cultural worldview, and I would say that they are being taught the doctrine of our own culture. So there's many false teachings that you can follow, and so Jesus told them, you have to be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And we have a passage in Scripture in Matthew 16:12, where they understood what Jesus was saying. It says, then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Jesus warned his disciples that if you follow the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees, you'll end up in the wrong destination, because it's a false teaching. Okay. And so Acts 2:42 tells us that the church was dedicated, devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. Well, what was the apostles' teaching? It was the teaching of Christ. They were following an example of Jesus. They were only sharing what they were taught by Jesus himself in his teachings. And where did Jesus' teachings come from? Well, in John chapter 7, verse 16, it says, so Jesus answered them, my teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. Now, who sent Jesus? God the Father. So Jesus is saying that his teaching came from where? God the Father. His teaching is heavenly. Now, if you're going to follow a teaching, and if you're going to believe a truth, don't you think it would be wise to follow the one that came from God himself? And so God himself, Jesus says, my Father gives me what to say, and I only say what he wants me to say. And so Jesus is following the teaching of God, and then the apostles are following the teaching of Jesus, and then the church is following the teaching of the apostles. So we can deduce and go back and say, the church is following the teaching that comes from God. Amen? So we're learning what God wants us to know. And so we have to be devoted to the teaching of the apostles. Why? Because it is the teaching of Christ. Now, Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1, when he's talking about the importance of what does it mean to be a believer? What does it mean to be a Christian? What is the foundation that we must build our life on? It's good to talk about foundations today. We got a great set to talk about a foundation. He says this, now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel that I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Let's stop right here. And what's Paul saying? Paul is saying, what I'm about to say is so important that if you don't hold on to this teaching, that if this is not something you're building your life upon, that this gospel that I'm proclaiming, if you move away from this, if this is something that you abandon, there's no hope for you, because this is what we must believe. This is everything. And here's what he says. Verse 3, for I deliver to you as of first importance what I also received. Paul received direct revelation from Jesus himself. We know that he also did meet the apostles and talked with the apostles, but he had an encounter with Jesus, the risen Lord himself. He says, this is what I received. that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. What does Paul say that the gospel, which means good news, what is the gospel? That Jesus died for our sin and that he rose again on the third day. That is a necessary must and what we must believe, and it must impact our lives in such a way that we share that news with other people. That it's something that is so good that it is something that we want to share with our friends, neighbors, our loved ones, that it's good news for those who are lost. The gospel. The good news that Jesus came to save sinners. How many of y'all think that's pretty good news right there? That's the best news I've heard, right? Ladies, can y'all remember when you all got engaged? Was that good news? Some of you changed the way you walked when you got engaged. You would do this. You'd be like, "Hi, how are y'all doing? Oh, is that an engagement ring? Oh, yes." And you wanted everybody to see that. Why? Because it was good news, right? It was good news. The church received the greatest news about salvation, and guess what they did? They were devoted to the apostles' teaching. What was one of the teachings? The gospel. And what were they sharing? The gospel, the good news. And they were telling people. How many grandparents do we have in the house? Grandparents? First time you learned that you were a grandparent. What'd you do? Man, you told everybody, didn't you? Now, for all the youth among us, you used to have what was called photos that you kept in your wallet. And it wasn't just on your phone, you know. I know this is way back in the 1900s. And so what a grandparent would do is, and some grandfathers, they would have this wallet that would be about this thick, and because they'd have pictures in there, and they'd take out their pictures of their grandkids. If you ever get a grandparent talking about their grandchildren, their eyes just light up, and then they just be ready for a long conversation, right? And they'd take those pictures out, and they'd open it up, and it'd fall all the way down here and be like, "Yeah, look at all these pictures of my grandkids." Now, why are grandparents so able to share about their grandkids? Because it's what? It's good. It's good news. They love them. And the church loved Jesus and the gospel and the hope of salvation. And they began to spread it and share it and tell others. And so we know that the Bible tells us there in the book of Acts that it went from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the uttermost parts of the earth. That the gospel got carried out and they began carrying out to where they lived. As they were going, they lived it out. They learned together and they lived together and they lived it. What they learned, and they were sharing the gospel, and people were coming saved. And the Bible says, day by day, he was adding to their number those who were being saved. And eventually, it gets out to the Gentiles, and the Gentiles start hearing the good news of Jesus. Now, how many of y'all think it is great that the Gentiles heard about Jesus? Say amen. That's because that would be us. And we needed that hope. And here's what the Bible says about the good news of the gospel. Ephesians chapter 2, starting verse 11. He says, "Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles," all of us, "you Gentiles in the flesh called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision," the Jews who were circumcised, that was a sign of their covenant, and they called Gentiles the uncircumcised. And he says, you know, "which is made in the flesh by hands." He says, "Remember," now he's talking to Gentiles. He's talking to those who are Gentiles. He says, "Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ." That's not good, is it? Separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That doesn't sound good at all, does it? That's despair. That's hopelessness. That's no hope. Why? Because when God formed the nation of Israel, he entrusted his oracles into the people of Israel. They became his people. And we were excluded from that. Verse 13. But now, aren't you glad Jesus came? Aren't you glad the new covenant was established? Aren't you glad Jesus fulfilled the law and the prophets? Aren't you glad that everything that the Old Testament is pointing to, Jesus came and fulfilled it at the cross and resurrection? But now, in who? In Christ Jesus, you who once were far off, us, those of us who once were far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. That's the atonement of Christ at the cross of Calvary, that we were purchased by the blood of Jesus. For he himself, who is the he himself? Jesus. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself, this is talking about Christ, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and he preached what? Peace to you who are far off, Gentiles, and peace to those who were near, Jews. For through him, that's Jesus, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are now what? Fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Isn't that good news? That's good news right there. He said because of what Jesus did, he broke down the barrier, the Jew and the Gentile, that division, and he came and he brought repentance to all men, and he fulfilled all that God had called him to do, and now there's no Jew or Gentile. There's just one man. There's the church of Jesus Christ, who are made up of believers from all people, tongue, tribes, and nations, both Jew and Gentile alike. Therefore, the gospel is not just about one race. It's about the human race for all people who call upon the name of the Lord. Guess what? They will be saved. That's the good news. That's what the early church was spreading and teaching, that in Christ Jesus, we're made into one new man, one body. We're God's household. We're God's family. How many of y'all realize that we're brothers and sisters in Christ? If you're a Christian, the church is the family of God. And we as Living Water Church are one particular family. There's multiple families. Every believer is in the family of God. So there's the church invisible, the church that all Christians are part of, the church. But then we all have our local assemblies or our local gatherings. But anyone who is a born-again believer is a brother and sister in Christ. And there's going to be a day when the king comes back and he returns and he sets up his kingdom forever and he gathers his church to be with him forever. And we're going to have one grand family reunion. Isn't that going to be neat? Where all the people of God will be together. We're one family. We live together in community called the church. And we're learning the teachings of the apostles called the Word of God, the Scripture, so that we might live out the commission of the gospel. Now watch verse 20. This is important. He says, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Remember, what was the early church continually devoting themselves to? The apostles' what? Teaching. He says, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. That's the Old Testament. We would consider this to be the New Testament, the teachings of Christ, the teachings of the apostles. And Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. Now, the cornerstone is the most important part of the building. The cornerstone is what sets the foundation to make it plumb. If the cornerstone is off, if the cornerstone isn't plumb, the whole building's going to be off. And so Paul says the cornerstone of our faith is Jesus, and then the apostles and the prophets are built around Jesus. That's the teaching we follow. That's the teaching that we learn so that we can live. That we take what we know and we activate it in our lives. He says, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, that's Christ, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. We are being built together as his church to be a temple of God because his Spirit dwells in the hearts and lives of his people. And what was the purpose of the church in the wilderness? Stephen said, it was to be a witness and a light to the nations. What are we supposed to be, church? A witness and a light to the nations. We are to bring the good news of the peace of God. Everything we do has got to be evangelistic. Everything. Vacation Bible School. It's evangelistic. Why? Because it's sharing the good news of who Jesus is. The witness and the testimony that we are having here today, because you're being here, is evangelistic. What you're saying to the world is that we are a people who believe that Jesus is the Son of God who came to take away the sin of the world. And we're taking time out of our day because we think that he deserves a day where we call upon his name and worship him together as God's people. And so when we gather here, we gather in his name. We gather to worship, to celebrate, to learn, to fellowship with one another. And this, what we're doing now, is a witness to the world. Our gathering should stir us on to good works. We should encourage one another, pray with one another, support one another. We should be a family that is spurring one another on to say, let's live out this faith and let's be faithful to our Lord. Paul goes on to say in Ephesians 4, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner, how? Worthy of the calling in which you have been called. Well, what's the calling we've been called? That we were once not a people, but now we are a people. That we have been brought near by the blood of Christ. That we are now God's household. That we are members of his family. So he says, now we are to be walking worthy of that calling. Verse 2, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to be to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. He says, walk worthy. Ride the bike. Ride the gospel bike in a worthy way. Live out your faith in a worthy way. Because those around you, if you claim to be a believer, if you say that you're a Christian, those around you who are not a Christian, they're watching you. They're watching you. They're watching you how you live, how you act, how you talk, how you post on your social media. They're watching all of that. And Paul says to walk in a manner worthy. Post in a manner worthy. Go to work in a manner worthy. Talk to your friends in a manner worthy. Wherever you go, walk in a manner worthy of that calling. Why? Because you are being a witness by the way that you live your life. Your life should communicate a gospel message. If you read the early church fathers and you read some early church history of, we call them the apostolic fathers, the early church, there was a teaching that was found in the Dead Sea Scrolls. It's dated around the first and second century. It's called the Didache. It's called the teaching of the 12 apostles, and it's an early church writing of some teachings that they were following. They said these would be good things to follow, and let me just read you a few of those. It says, there are two ways, one of life and one of death. But there's a great difference between the two ways. The way of life then is this. First, thou shalt love God who made thee. And second, thy neighbor as thyself. So where are they getting that from? What is that? That's the great commandment. When Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor, what? As yourself. And then it says, in all things whatsoever thou wouldest should not occur to thee, thou also to another do not do. That's the negative way of saying what Jesus said was, do unto others as you would have them do to you. And we know that as the golden rule. Okay? They're saying the way of life is love God and love your neighbor as yourself and treat people the way that you would want them to treat you. And it goes on and it says, and of these things, the teaching is this, bless them that curse you. Where'd they get that from? Jesus. Pray for your enemies. Where'd they get that from? Jesus. Fast for them that persecute you. For what think is there if you love them that love you? Do not also Gentiles do the same? But do you love them that hate you? And you shall not have an enemy. Abstain thou from fleshly and worldly lust. It goes on and on. And in that teaching, just like the scriptures are constantly admonishing us, is that once God has saved us and he's brought us into his family, then we are to live in such a way that brings honor to that family name. There's nowhere in scripture that you're going to have permission to act honorary and God say, I'm proud of that. Or you're not going to find it. That you're allowed to cuss and scream and holler and be bitter and angry and unforgiving and lustful and prideful and all of those, there's nowhere in scripture where it is going to admonish you to take the deeds of the flesh and walk in them. No. It's going to say, crucify the deeds of the flesh and rather, what? Walk in the Spirit. Walk in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. Walk in holiness and righteousness. Walk in a way that's worthy of the calling. Now, why is that? Because we're following the teaching of who? Jesus. As we read our Bible, we're hearing the teaching of Jesus being taught. And we are to live what we learn. If what we're learning is not impacting and changing the way we are living, then something is wrong with our learning. Amen? There's a disconnect. Because here's the thing, Paul, when he wrote his letters, he would write letters to churches like Ephesus, Colossae, Philippi, and he wrote to Philemon, and he would say stuff like this, man, I thank God for your love for Christ and your love for all the saints. He would always brag on them about their love for the Lord and their love for one another. Why? Because we are a community of believers called the church who are the household of God, and we are to love and encourage one another. Amen? And then the one to Romans, he says, Romans 1:8, first I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. Wow. Man, isn't that neat? That the church in Rome made such an impact that people were talking about it miles away. That makes me always want to think, you know, when we were starting this church, and even now today, that's still kind of my heart's desire, is that we would be a people who are learning the teachings of Jesus, not just to have the head knowledge of what we're supposed to believe, but we have the heart transformation and we live the teachings of Jesus in such a way that news about the people in Mount Sterling, to the church of Mount Sterling, to the saints of Mount Sterling at Living Water Church, I thank my God for you, for your faith has been talked about throughout the world. Wow. Could you imagine? That our lives are touching people's lives, that's touching people's lives, that's touching people's lives, that's making an impact, and it keeps going on, and there's just something different about those people. Because the early church lived in such a way that the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. And two of the foundations that they were living out was they were committed to one another being part of the church. They belonged together as a family. And they were learning and living out the teachings of the apostles, which were the teachings of Jesus, which were the teachings of God. And those who observed that said, I want to be a part of that group. I want to be a part of those people. I wonder if there's anybody looking at our life in our church and saying, man, I want to be a part of those people. That's the community I want to be a part of. I want my life to reflect how they're living. Oh, that we would be committed to the teachings of Jesus so that we could learn them, so that we could live them faithfully out with one another. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus,